guys. Thanks for tuning in to episode 15 of the Kitchen Stitches podcast. My name is Summer and I am your host. You can find me on Ravelry and on Instagram as Summer Yarns, which is SommerYarns. If this is your first time listening to the podcast, welcome and thanks for checking me out. And for those of you who are returning, as always, thank you. I appreciate you taking the time out of your day to listen to me babble. We do have a Ravelry group. It is the creatively named Kitchen Stitches group, and I would love it if you would join us there. Today's segments include what I've been up to, which I don't have official segment names. I come up with something new every week, it seems. So what I've been up to, finished objects, WIPs, or works in progress, upcoming projects, I have something there. A little bit about the knit along we have going on and in the kitchen. So let's start with what I've been up to. This past week, last week, was my kids and my husband's spring break, and even though I did not get an official vacation myself other than one day at the end of the week, the stress level is so much lower when your family is on break that it feels like a vacation in and of itself. So I did, I got a little bit of a reprieve last week. I needed it. I had a stressful week at work, so the end of the week and when I got one day off and the low stress level at home for the rest of the week, that was much appreciated. The first weekend, of spring break, to kick off spring break, that was March 14th, which is Pi Day and PI Day. And as I mentioned in my last podcast, we had a party to go to. It was a Pi Day party where everybody brought different pies. And I'm actually going to talk about that at the end of the episode when I do the in the kitchen segment. So I'll get back to that. That Sunday, my husband and kids and a friend of my daughter's and I headed to the Big Thicket National Preserve, which is in Koontz, Texas, which is about 30 miles north of Beaumont, which is about an hour and a half from Houston. So it was about 2 hours away from here. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about the Big Thicket. I did not know much about it at all. I've never been there. As I said, it's about 2 hours away from us. And the best thing I could find on the National Parks website to describe it is this paragraph. So let me read this to you real quick. It says that 10 distinct ecosystems have been identified within Big Thicket National Preserve. This area has some of the richest biodiversity in North America. Natural processes have influenced the region over the millennium. The last ice age brought a character change on the natural systems found here. The cold environment pushed or encouraged species to move from separate ecological systems into a close neighborhood. Today, species from the Gulf Coastal Plains, Eastern Forests, and Central Plains share space with species indicative of swamps and bayous. Bald cypress swamps are a short distance from upland pine savannas and sandhills. Roadrunners watch eastern bluebirds fly to and from their nests in nearby trees. When you visit the Big Thicket, there will be no grand vistas or majestic mountain ranges to tantalize your eyes. However, you will see, when you choose to look closely around you, a unique assemblage of species, including some that are endangered or threatened. This is the place called the Big Thicket. So, unlike a lot of national parks, this is not one big park where you go in and everything is right there. The Big Thicket, the area had to be negotiated with lumber companies. It's a big lumber area. As I mentioned, the pine forests, and so there's a big lumber industry in there, and they had they had to fight to get a lot of this land. So what you have instead of one contiguous part are individual units that can often be several miles from each other. So we went to two units of the park. The first one, I would guess, would be the main part. I guess it houses, not houses, but is the beginning spot of one of the larger trails. And it has the, the headquarters with the gift shop and that stuff, little museum, and a really nice trail. And that was about, we walked about 4 miles, or 2 miles in and 2 miles back, and picnicked, and it was a nice cool day. It was probably around 60 degrees and overcast, which was perfect. We were worried that we were going to get rained on, but we didn't. And it was nice. It was not too hot. It was cold. It was warm enough, even at 60 degrees, that I was comfortable wearing shorts but with a long sleeve shirt. So it was nice. The other section we went to was a smaller section, and we had to drive about 7 miles to get to that down a bigger highway. And that one was called the Sundew Trail, and there's a big boggy area that has, pitcher plants and sundews, both of which are carnivorous plants. And that was really interesting. I think that probably if we go later in the year, it will be more robust, because we almost missed the pitcher plants. They were tiny. I expected these larger plants. I don't know, maybe I can't think of something to compare them to, but they were tiny. They were probably about a half an inch wide and very small. And if my son hadn't been looking closely, we would have completely missed them. And that made his day, because he hadn't really wanted to come in the first place and had been a little complainy. But once he saw those and he was the one that discovered them, he was glad he had come. So that was that Sunday, and that was a lot of fun. I can't wait to go back and explore some of the other areas of the park or the preserve. Let's see what else. The other thing we did over spring break was go to Austin, Texas, which is about 2.5 hours from here. We had two reasons for going. The first of these was that on that Friday we went and took we went for a campus visit at University of Texas. My daughter is a junior in high school this year, so she is getting ready to begin the college application process, and we wanted to kick it off with a visit to UT. The tour and the visit, they were underwhelming. I mean, they were overwhelming in some ways, but we didn't really learn anything that we didn't already know. So that was a little bit of a letdown. Doesn't deter us from wanting her to apply there, but it was not what we expected. But that's fine, because we got to go to Austin, and I love going to Austin. We stayed with some friends, and it was really a short visit. We got there around noon on Friday, and then hung out with our friends on Friday night. And my husband actually had a workshop to attend on Saturday, which was the other reason that we came. He's part of an astronomy research project, I guess, through University of Texas. And then, so he goes up there about once a month. And while he was doing that, we went to lunch at a place called Polvo's, which is an interior Mexican restaurant. And again, I'll talk about that in the kitchen section. And after we did that, we headed over to a co-op grocery store called Wheatsville Co-op. I know that there are a few, or at least one, Austin listener. There has been a Wheatsville Co-op near the University of Texas for a long time, as far as I understand it. But they've opened one in South Austin, I'm guessing fairly recently. And our friends are members. So we went with them to check that out, and that was kind of fun. We don't have, I mean, the closest we have is Whole Foods, and that's just not the same. This was a neat little store, a little, you know, it was neat. A lot of organic type stuff. We actually got sucked into the toiletries area with all of this handmade soap and nice cosmetics and just very earthy type stuff. And that was really nice. I ended up getting, I'm sure you're really all interested in what I got. I got facial cleanser that I had actually had before that I really liked, and I think I left it at my mom's house, and I don't remember whatever happened. I have a memory of her bringing it back to me, but if she did, it's gone now. Anyway, it's this peppermint, I'm stumbling over my words, a peppermint fragranced facial cleanser that is really nice. So I got that, and I got my daughter some concealer and some soap, and I got these wheat patties that I will talk about in the kitchen section. And it was kind of a neat place to hang out for a little while. After that, my daughter wanted to go to a vintage shop. So my friend and I, or we dropped the boys off, and we headed, the girls and not, you know, all three girls, headed down to the South Congress area of Austin, which is very touristy and trendy. It was not that way when I lived there many years ago, but it is now, and it is what it is. But we had a particular shop that we wanted to go to, and parking in that area is really hard. It's atrocious. It was very stressful trying to find a place to park. And I had been doing really good. I had said over and over that I was not going to go to my favorite yarn store while I was in Austin. I didn't need yarn. There was no reason. I was going to avoid it. I wasn't going to go. How could I help myself when the parking place that I was able to find, I had to walk right past Hill Country Weavers, which, as I mentioned, is my favorite yarn shop. It couldn't be helped. What is a girl to do? So we ended up going in the yarn store. I had a reason. I was avoiding it. I was willing to not go. And then I had really wanted to see if they happened to have any yarn dyeing supplies, which they did not. And that was the main reason. I was like, yeah, let me go in. Let me just go in and look. And of course I walked out with, you know, $50 worth of yarn purchase. But what I did end up buying was, instead of buying just a skein of yarn, which is all I had planned to do, I almost walked out with only a $15 skein of yarn, and I was being very virtuous and felt really good about myself. And then I kept looking around, and they had these kits made up that you could get that had the yarn for a project, and in some cases they included the pattern, and usually stitch markers, and maybe some other type of notions that went with it. Like mine came with a little sample of Eucalyn, and this was a little frustrating. Because a lot of the kits did include, they included the pattern. And, like, there was one for the Stephen West Spectrum, and it included the yarn and included the pattern. And because that used more yarn, it was a little pricey. And I was trying to avoid spending too much. So I ended up finding a kit for the baby surprise jacket for about $35. Which was not too bad. And I have a friend that I want to knit it for as a baby gift. So that was fine. But then when I got to the cash register, I found that she told me that the pattern actually wasn't included. So I had to buy the pattern on top of it since I don't own it. And it ended up being almost as expensive as one of these other kits would have been had I just bought that. So that, I felt a little, I don't want to say deceptive, but you know, if I had already had the pattern, it would have been one thing, but it was an expensive pattern too. Anyway, enough griping. I do love that store, so I'm not holding a grudge. Don't worry. So that was our trip to Austin. That was all. Oh, it was Friday and we came back. We were home by about 8 o'clock, or we were back in Houston by 8 o'clock. We had to pick up the dog and head home. But so that was a nice little getaway. And then I had a book club on Sunday, which, funny story is that this is the second time I've recorded this podcast. The first time I decided to try to record it while I was on my way to book club, and the quality was just terrible. I think I could do that maybe if I had headphones with the mic on it, but without a mic, you picked up all the car sounds. It was a mess. So here I am a few days later recording again. So let's move on to the knitting. I have one and almost another finished object. The first finished object that I have is the Bonnie Wee Mouse by Susan Claudino. And this was a paid pattern. And I made it out of Bonnie Wee Things on, I made it using Unwind Yarn Company's Touring DK in the colorway Bonnie Wee Things. And that project turned out so cute. If you have seen the pattern, I think mine turned out very close to what the actual pattern looks like. The pattern is one of the best toy patterns I have ever followed. I was talking about this in a VKN a couple of weeks ago, and I said that I was talking about whether or not it was fiddly, and I said it was different than others where you didn't knit the pieces separately. You kind of put it together as you went. And that's not quite true. I feel like I told a little white lie, but it was not on purpose. You have to knit the arms and legs and ears and the tail first. But once you start the body, you assemble it as you go with, you know, placing the arms and legs as you build it, which is different, a different construction than how I've done it before. And that made all the difference in the world. I loved knowing exactly where to place the appendages, and it was just a really, really well written pattern. Let me talk about the yarn just a little bit. The mouse itself was adorable, but the compliments I have gotten on it most have been more about the color of it than the actual pattern. Everybody loves this yarn. If you haven't seen this, the yarn is, it's kind of, the base is, I would say, is kind of a taupe, but it's got these pops of pinks and blues. And it's just a really nice color. I have enough of that to make something else with. I'm not sure what. Someone suggested I could make another Bonnie Wee Mouse, which I could do, but I don't think I want to knit something else with it. I mean, I don't think I want to knit the exact same thing with it. I would make a really nice baby hat, and some booties, which maybe that is what I'll end up making. I'm not sure, but I can't wait to use it again. And I would absolutely recommend that base if anybody is looking for a DK. And that, again, is from Unwind Yarn Company on the Touring DK base. The other almost finished object, and this will actually take me into WIPs, but this was so close to being a finished object. I was working on my noodle, which is another pattern by Susan Claudino, another paid pattern. I'm using the Three Irish Girls Spring Veil Worsted in You Are My Sunshine. And I have done the, well, now I've done everything, but I had done the entire Chihuahua. I had the head and the body and the ear. Everything was in place. I had knit, the legs were sewn on. I had knit one arm, and all I needed was to knit the other arm and the tail. So I decided today that I was going to finish. This was, you know, I had actually kind of forgotten that I was working, or I knew that I hadn't, that it was in progress, but I had forgotten that I wanted to use it for Nerd Wars, which ends, this round ends on Friday. So I decided, you know, to just go ahead and work out the last bit of it today and get it finished. So I sat down and I did the second arm and the tail, and was getting ready to stuff the arm, but I wanted to find the other one and compare, make sure that I stuffed them the same way. And I cannot find the first arm anywhere. Now, I didn't look terribly hard, but sadly, I ran out of project bags. So this has just been sitting all in a pile on top of my knitting cabinet. And everything was together. All of the yarn and the other, you know, the body, the, you know, everything that had been assembled was all together in the needle. So I assumed that the arm was just sitting there and that I had just hadn't had time. You know, just hadn't looked closely enough. And at the time, it didn't matter. I was like, okay, I'll finish, you know, this, and then I'll go get that and assemble it. No, it's not there. I can't find it. Our kitten likes to get up there and knock things off, so I suspect that it has gotten knocked off. My hope is that it got knocked off and picked up and put in a project bag or in one of the I have one of the IKEA shelving units and I have little boxes in them, and I'm hoping that it's in one of those. I don't know. It was really frustrating. And, you know, I'm determined to not knit another one, because as soon as I do that, you know, I'm going to find the first one. So that was a little frustrating, but I'll move on. It's not the end of the world. Another funny story. I think it's funny. If I doubt anybody remembers this, but I am making this noodle for one of the women who cleans at the library. She was supposed to be retiring, or she had told me back before Christmas that she was going to retire in April. And I wanted to give this to her when she retired. A couple of reasons. She really likes my little stuffies that are on my desk. She always thinks they're really cute. And she also had a Chihuahua that died last year. So I thought, you know, this would be a really nice gift for her when she retired. Well, I talked to her today because she hadn't mentioned recently anything about leaving. And she was mentioning it for a while. And I had this sneaky suspicion that maybe she wasn't retiring after all. This is not the first time that she has said she was leaving. And I asked her today, and she told me that she told me that it was our administrative assistant's fault. She told her she couldn't leave. She liked her. She wanted her, you know, wanted her to stay, so she couldn't leave. So she wasn't retiring now. So I'm not in as big a hurry because she's not leaving in April, so I can get this done and give them to her whenever. But I thought that was funny. This woman is just the sweetest woman, and everybody gets frustrated with their job, of course, but she really truly seems to love what she does, and she loves working with us. She thinks that we are all just so nice, and we are. We're a nice bunch. But she is just the sweetest lady, and she will really appreciate this whenever I finally get it done and can give it to her. So let's move on to other works in progress that are not quite so frustrating. The first or the most, the one thing I've worked on the most, other than the finished objects, are still my Collie Wobbles, which is a paid pattern by Fibertown Designs, who is Emily, aka Chain of Fools on Ravelry and Instagram and wherever else. She does the Fibertown podcast. I think I said this is a paid pattern. I'm also using Unwind Yarn Company for this. I'm using the Journey Sock in the Aurora Borealis colorway. And I am almost done with sock number two. I have, let me think, about a repeat and a half of the pattern and then the toe to do. So I had thought I might get a bunch done tonight, but I think I've probably used up all of my knitting mojo for tonight. It will be done by Friday because I do want to count this one for Nerd Wars. This is such a fun pattern. If you have seen this pattern, and even if you haven't, I can describe it. It is, you know, it really, it's almost a stockinette pattern because, I mean, you're not doing anything, there's no lace work or anything like that with it. But the way the pattern is, it makes this crosshatch design down the front. And it's a very clever design that's easily memorized, and it's so much fun, and it works with all kinds of different yarns, and it's just, it's such a fun, pattern. I have gotten more compliments on this pair of socks, I think, than any other socks I've done. The yarn color is amazing, and I've gotten more compliments on the yarn than any yarn I've ever knit with or at work. It is just, it's just so pretty. I mentioned that I'm going to use it for Nerd Wars. One of the categories for Nerd Wars this year, this round, is to knit, it's geology, I think. But to knit something that reminds you of a mineral or a rock or something like that. And so I am going to use this for that category because the colors remind me of some type of mineral, and it has kind of an iridescent look. It kind of reminds me of, you know, the iridescent stag beetles. It reminds me a little bit of that, except there's not as much green. It's more of a blue. And today I was actually Googling, you know, blue-green iridescent minerals, trying to find a picture of something that looked like this because I knew that I could find something. And I have narrowed it down to either fluorite or opal, which opal, usually when I think of opal, I think of that, of a milk opal, which is white with, you know, kind of pearly shades in it. But there are other opals that have a lot of blues and greens and purples and reds, and this looks a lot like that, and it's just gorgeous. I highly recommend trying this yarn if you ever get a chance. And no, I am not getting paid by Unwind Yarn Company to promote them this month. The other project that I have been working on a lot is the Collister, which is a paid pattern by Kirsten Kapoor, and I am using another Crafty Girl Twinkle Sock in the Frozen colorway. And if you want to know what this colorway looks like, just take a look at the cover of the DVD for the movie Frozen, and you got it. Ponky, who is another Crafty Girl, just nailed the colors on that. It looks just like, I mean, the purples and the blues are just like the cover of the movie or the movie poster. It's really pretty. This is the yarn I bought it for my daughter on New Year's Eve, actually, when I happened to catch an update. And I originally was going to make socks for Laura with it, but she really is not a handmade sock person. And I, even though they would look pretty, and she would probably wear them once or twice, she really wouldn't get a lot of wear out of them. So I did decide that I would make a cowl. We talked about it and asked and picked a pattern together. And this one, it has a leafy pattern. I don't know how to describe it, but it's actually really, it looks intricate, but it's a very easy pattern so far. And I'm about halfway through the first lace chart. There's one, like a setup section and then two lace charts. And I'm about halfway through the first lace chart. It actually is going very quickly. If I do get any knitting mojo, I'll probably need to put in a couple of rows on that so I can get that done in a reasonable amount of time. But I'm really enjoying that pattern as well. The other things, let's see, there's only one other knitting item really that I think I've worked on this week or in the past couple of weeks. I've been fairly monogamous the past little while. Focused anyway. I guess you can't be monogamous with more than one item, but I've been focused. The other thing I've been working on is my TGV, which is another paid pattern. And this one is by Susan Ashcroft, and I'm doing this on using Undead Yarn in the Zombified colorway and a sort of vampire base, I believe, if I remember correctly. And that is by Heidi, who is Nitty Girl, or Nitty Girl 1 on Instagram. I don't know if you're Nitty Girl 1 or just Nitty Girl on Ravelry. But this yarn is a lot of fun too. It's a kind of a neon green with black areas, and it's actually working up really nicely in this shawl. It'll be a lot of fun to wear. I think a lot of people will probably make socks with this because it's outlandish in a good way. I mean, this neon color, not a lot of people could wear it, but I think paired with the right item, it'll be a nice, fun, pop in the middle of winter next year or in the fall, maybe with a black shirt around Halloween. It'll be a lot of fun. It is going very slowly. I only did maybe a row or two in the past couple of weeks. I've just picked it up every once in a while. But I am really, this is the second TGV I've made, and it's a fun pattern. It's a mindless pattern. So that's all the knitting that I've done. The only other thing I am working on, I'm still working on my Once Upon a Time sampler, and I had kind of put that away for a while. But in the past little bit, I've been really good at doing 15 minutes a day. And I am now on the February square, and yes, I know that it is now March, but I am making progress slowly but surely, and I'm actually doing 15 minutes a day with a new friend, Jen Steady, on Instagram and on Ravelry. We are working together to do 15 minutes a day, and we started our February section together on Monday, so that's a lot of fun. I'm enjoying that. I like the company. Having some companionship, I can't remember the word I'm looking for. It is almost 9:30, and it's almost past my bedtime. Upcoming projects, I don't have anything concrete. I'll finish the Collie Wobbles this week, and I'll start my April socks on Monday. No, Tuesday is April 1st. Big day, April 1st. My son gets his braces off. Yay! I don't know exactly what I'm going to do yet. I know that the yarn that is in the April bag is one that I have had for a while. I don't know exactly which one. I can't remember which one. I thought I did know. Anyway, I don't remember exactly which yarn it is, but I think it's one of the Hunger Games yarns that I got a couple of years ago. And I don't remember if I talked before about the knit along for the Into the Wool retreat, where we get points for using vendors or sponsors' products. And I know that this one won't count, but I have at least 3 skeins of yarn bagged up for my personal yarn club through the year that would count. So probably what I will do is open that bag and then dig into the other ones and try to find one of the other skeins. I think I'll keep it a little bit random, and that I really have no idea which one it is in, except I know that a couple of those bags I do have themed, and I know what it isn't. But just whichever one I come across first, I think maybe that's the one I'll trade it with. Anyway, I don't even know if anybody's following that. I'm rambling. But anyway, those will be some. My April socks will almost certainly have, what do you call it? Point value for my end of the wall spotlight knit along. My Christmas all year long knit along, if you are not aware, we do have a knit along going in the Ravelry group. It is a winter holiday themed, winter holiday themed knit along. You can knit anything, knit, crochet, weave, craft, anything that is related to a winter holiday. Again, the point of this for me was to stay on task and try to knit Christmas ornaments for a tree that I want to have next year on my desk. But it can be an ornament, it can be gifts, it can be just anything that's related to any winter holiday. We will have our first drawing. I'm gonna go out on a limb and say it will be the next recording. Originally, when I first recorded, I thought there was a potential that I could record again on Sunday. I'm not gonna record again in just a few days. So the next recording, episode 16, I will have a drawing for a Ravelry pattern valued $10 or less. So any items that have been submitted are eligible. And I was going to take a look real quick and see how many we've got right now. We have not very many, but we do have a handful. Looks like we've got 1, 2, I don't count, 3, 4, 5, 6 items. So your chances of winning are pretty good. So if you want to get something in, I'll actually give you until I'm not gonna close it because it's an open thread. So basically anything that is entered by March 31st or by the end of the day, by midnight between March 31st, April 1st will count towards this drawing. And I will have quarterly drawings and then a big drawing at the end of the year for anybody that's participated all year long. So that is what is up with that. And I have more specifics in the, there's a thread in the group that has more about that. Let's move on to in the kitchen. I have several things on here, but they're all very small. I haven't actually been cooking a whole lot, or no, that's not true. I've been cooking almost every night, but it's just boring, you know, weekday meals, nothing exciting. The first thing I want to talk about is the pie day party that we went to. And first of all, here is a list of all of the pies that were there. I made the salted caramel chocolate pecan pie, which I talked about in the last episode. And from the best that I remember, these were the other ones that were there. There's a blueberry sour cream pie, caramel delight, chocolate chip cookie pie, lemon cream pie, lemon meringue pie, peanut butter pie, and then on the savory side, we had a Frito pie and a tamale pie. And then somebody brought a cake that was in the shape of pie, like the number pie. They were all delicious. This was probably not the best idea, but I tried every one. I mean, I think everybody did, but you know, even though I only took a small sliver of each one, I had this mound of pie on my plate, and that was my dinner. By the end of the night, really, I was actually quite sick. It was just too much sugar. But they were all delicious. And everybody won a prize, so I did not win the grand prize. That went to the chocolate chip cookie pie, which was very good. But I did win prettiest and tastiest. And it, I, not to toot my own horn, but this really was a gorgeous pie. The best compliment that I got on it was this recipe is from Southern Living. I think it was the November issue of 2013. And someone actually asked me if it was the recipe from Southern Living and said that it looked just like the recipe. So that was quite flattering. And it's a really easy pie. It looks really complicated. The hardest part is putting the pecans in a spiral pattern on top. And that looks very complicated and it's tedious, but it's not, you know, it's not hard. But anyway, so that was satisfying and it was a lot of fun. I won a $25 gift certificate and tickets to a movie theater that has a lot of indie films and that type of stuff, a little artsy place. So that was a lot of fun. I did not try the Frito pie or the tamale pie because they both had onions. And if you've listened before, you know how I feel about onions. But I'm sure they were delicious. My favorite of the ones, I'm looking at this list, I think was probably the lemon meringue pie. That was a really good pie. So that was pie day. The other thing, let's see, next on this list is I wanted to talk about Polvo's, which is the Mexican restaurant that we went to in Austin. This restaurant is on South Congress, for those of you who might be familiar with Austin and want to try it. It is interior Mexican. Honestly, I don't know what that means because it just seemed like Tex-Mex to me. Restaurants like this, I like Mexican food, but I'm very wary of Mexican food because of the onion issue, because most dishes have onions. I know it seems silly, but I have a very strong aversion to onions. So I'm always a little overwhelmed, and especially if the menu is large, trying to make up my mind and trying to figure out what I'm going to get and what I'm going to actually like it can be a little overwhelming. But what I ended up with, they had a build your own enchilada and you could get them a la carte. So that's what I did. And I got, they were just cheese enchiladas with a tomatillo sauce and they were absolutely delicious. I don't know if there were onions. If there were onions in it, I could taste them and couldn't sense them. It's the texture that really gets me. It was delicious. This was very good. My son had some type of burrito. It's a big stuffed burrito. And he really liked it. And my daughter had flautas, I believe. And, yeah, she said they were okay. But she's pickier more discerning, I guess is a better word. They have really good salsa. And they serve pickled carrots, like spicy pickled carrots and jalapenos that you can eat along with your chips or add to your food or whatever. And supposedly they have really good margaritas too. I tasted my friend's, but I didn't actually have one. Since we were driving back to Houston later that day, I didn't think it was that good of an idea. Tequila often will give me a headache and I did not want to tempt fate. But anyway, that was really good. I highly recommend that if you have not tried it and you're in the Austin area. The other thing I said I wanted to talk about were the little patties that I bought at the Wheatsville Co-op. And these were called Hot Dang Burgers. And there's apparently a line of four different flavors. And we just got the original. And they are vegetarian burgers, but they don't try to taste like meat. You know, there are some vegetarian burgers that try to get a meaty flavor. These don't. Or at least the one we had did not. And they're made with a couple of types of rice. It was wild rice and I don't know if it was white rice. I can't remember. And cashews and bulgur and white navy beans. And I don't remember what else. And some spices. And they were really good. I had tasted just a corner, oh, I guess you can't have a corner of a circle. But I had broken off a piece of my friend's the day before and tried it and really liked it. So I wanted to get some to bring home. And we actually had those for dinner. I think it was Monday night. And we just kind of had, and we were out. I had forgotten to buy hamburger buns. So we just had them on a piece of bread with a fried egg on them. It was one of the suggestions on the box. And they were really, really good. I can see that you could dress them up however you wanted. This is a really nice vegetarian option. The other flavors were, they have funny names, but there was a barbecue flavored one, a southwestern one that had chili peppers in it, and the last one was an Italian flavored one. And I'd like to try the barbecue one and the Italian one. The southwestern one didn't sound that great to me, but I will try the others and I will weigh in if we find interesting ways to have these. I don't think they're very highly available. They are an Austin product, although the manufacturing information on them is Minnesota, but they are branded as an Austin product. I know that I saw on a Facebook page for them, for the company, that you can get them at the San Antonio Whole Foods. I haven't checked to see if we can get them at Whole Foods here in Houston yet, but I am going to look. But if you happen upon them, then they're worth a try. And then the last foodie thing I want to talk about is only just a mention of a recipe that I tried last night. And I found this on Pinterest. I find a lot of my recipes on Pinterest. And this was pork chops with honey and pecans. And there may have been a different name for it. But they're basically just pan-fried. You just pan-fry pork chops with, you know, a little flour. And to the drippings, you add a little bit of honey and pecans, or we fry them in butter. We fry the pork chops in butter, so there's quite a bit of juices and drippings when you're finished. And you mix that with honey and pecans and drizzle the sauce over the pork chops. And they were quite tasty. The only thing is that I think I left them on the heat just a little bit too long, so the sauce caramelized a little bit, but it tasted really good. I would like to make these again and hopefully do a better job of getting it off the heat so it's more of a sauce rather than a caramel sauce. Anyway, that is an interesting recipe, and it was a quick and easy one. I will link to it in the show notes. And I guess that is it. I will do my best to record again soon. Can't say for sure when it will be, but I will get one up as soon as possible. Feel free to reach out to me on Ravelry or Instagram, and I will talk to you soon. Bye.